blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Luke 12:49-53. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 12, verse 49-53. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. My theme for reflection is the fire that purifies the heart. The fire that purifies the heart. A man once joked that he preferred comfortable religion. By that he meant a faith that never disturbed his opinions, never challenged his habits, and never complicated family conversations at the dinner table. I like a peaceful faith, he said with a smile. Many people nodded in agreement, yet if we read the words of Jesus carefully, we soon discover that the peace he brings is not always the comfortable kind. In Luke 12:49-53, Jesus speaks in striking language. I came to bring fire to the earth, he says, and he speaks of a baptism that still lies ahead of him. These words point toward the cross. The fire is not the fire of destruction, but the fire of purification, the burning away of illusions that keep us from God. And the baptism he speaks of is the suffering he will endure so that the world might be reconciled to God. As Christians reflect during Lent, we remember that the path of salvation passes through the cross before it leads to resurrection. Jesus Christ spoke these words in a society already tense with religious expectation. Many people hoped the Messiah would bring immediate political peace or national unity. Yet Jesus knew that the truth he carried would unsettle human loyalties. When the gospel enters a life, it reorders priorities. Families, communities, and traditions sometimes resist that change. The division Jesus describes is therefore not his goal, but the consequence of truth entering a broken world. Yet the words of Jesus also help us understand something about the deeper tensions that mark our own time. The divisions we witness today within families, communities, and even nations rarely begin with great ideological disagreements. More often, they grow from wounded pride, unresolved grievances, and the human desire to be right rather than to be reconciled. When people feel ignored, dishonored, or misunderstood, resentment quietly takes root. Over time, that resentment hardens into bitterness, and bitterness becomes a lens through which every action of the other person is interpreted negatively. What begins as disappointment gradually evolves into hostility. This explains why many modern family feuds appear so irrational. At their core, they are not about the presenting issue, inheritance disputes, political opinions, lifestyle choices, or religious differences, but about deeper emotional injuries that were never honestly addressed. Instead of confronting those wounds with humility and forgiveness, people defend their pride, The result is a culture in which anger becomes normalized and resentment becomes almost fashionable. Ironically, this bitterness rarely harms the people it targets as much as it harms the one who carries it. Modern psychology increasingly confirms what scripture has long taught. Prolonged anger and resentment can poison the inner life. Stress, anxiety, depression, and a host of psychosomatic illnesses often accompany a heart that refuses to release its grievances. The tragedy is that the damage spreads outward. Children, spouses, and friends are often forced to carry the emotional burden created by someone else's unresolved anger. In this way, bitterness becomes generational. The pain of one person quietly becomes the inheritance of many. Jesus' words in Luke 12, therefore, expose something uncomfortable about the human condition. The gospel does not merely divide because people disagree about ideas. It divides because it confronts the idols we cling to, our pride, our need for control, our unwillingness to forgive. When Christ calls people to repentance and humility, some welcome that call while others resist it fiercely. The resulting tension reveals not the cruelty of the gospel, but the depth of the human heart's resistance to transformation. The Christian message offers a stronger possibility. The peace Christ brings is not the peace of ignoring conflict, but the peace that grows when truth and grace meet. When individuals allow the gospel to examine their hearts, when they confront their own anger before condemning others, something remarkable becomes possible. Reconciliation begins not with winning arguments, but with transformed hearts. Only then can the fire Christ speaks of burn away bitterness and make room for the difficult but liberating work of forgiveness that is attained by the truth. The division Jesus describes is therefore not his goal, but the consequence of truth entering a broken world. Kierkegaard argued that the truth is a fire that burns away illusions. That insight helps us understand Jesus' words. The gospel reveals where our security truly lies. It challenges the comfortable arrangements we build to avoid deeper transformation. The fire of Christ exposes what cannot save us: status, pride, habits of self-justification, and invites us to trust God instead. Another passage of scripture balances this difficult message. In John 14:27, Jesus Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." The peace Christ offers is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God in the midst of it. Sometimes the journey toward that deeper peace requires courage, honesty, and change. A simple story illustrates this. George grew up in a family where faith was politely ignored. When he began attending church, his parents joked about it. When he started volunteering to help the poor, they worried he was becoming too serious. At first, George felt torn between loyalty and conviction. But over time, his quiet faith changed the tone of the household. One evening, his father asked him almost casually, "What is it you found that makes you live like this?" What began as tension became the doorway to conversation. The gospel had disturbed the surface, but beneath it, something new was growing. This text reminds us that discipleship is not merely a private comfort, but a transforming commitment. Lent invites us to allow Christ's purifying fire to examine our lives, our assumptions, our prejudices, and the quiet compromises we make with injustice or indifference. The question is not whether the gospel will change things, but whether we are willing to let it change us. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where might the truth of the gospel be challenging something comfortable in your life right now? Number two, how can you respond to disagreement or tension with humility rather than resentment? And now our practical exercise for the day. Spend 10 quiet minutes in prayer, asking God to reveal one area of your life where Christ's transforming fire is needed. Write it down and ask for the courage to take one small step toward change today. Lord Jesus Christ, you came not only to comfort the world, but to renew it. Let the fire of your truth purify our hearts, burn away our pride, and free us from the illusions that keep us from you. In this Lenten season, give us the courage to follow you faithfully, even when the path is difficult. And may your peace dwell within us as we seek to live in your truth and love. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.